Take it home, Bruce. Take it home. Yeah. Yeah.
Hello and welcome to Unbought and Unbossed Canadian Political News and Views. This is show number 115. Today is April the 1st, 2009. Unbought and Unbossed is an independent voice dedicated to presenting and discussing the political and social issues most relevant to Canadian citizens. This show contends that 9/11 is Canada's single most important issue because the self-inflicted attacks of 9/11 are being used as the justification for the current overthrow of our democratic and sovereign nationhood, turning Canada into a corporate-driven plutocracy. The official story of the 9/11 terror attacks and the ensuing war of terror are deeply troubling and are at the forefront of this radio program. I strongly encourage listeners to question what you think you know about today's world events and to analyze the motives behind our traditional news sources. Each week, new segments of Unbought and Unbossed offer further evidence for these incredible claims, which are either omitted or distorted by the mainstream corporate media. Turn your televisions off. You are being lied to and conditioned to accept this madness as our inevitable future. We must work to return the future of the human race to its rightful owners. That's you. Our ignore it and maybe it will go away on its own mentality is killing us. It has to end now. It is high time to wake up and to educate, to learn, to work together, and to find the courage to act on our love for one another. Our every freedom is at stake in this battle for truth and accountability. The prize is nothing less than the health of our collective human soul. The revolution has begun. I suggest you find your role. Bruce Coburn, thank you. As always, actions speak louder. What we're going to hear next is from DJ Shadow and Ashley McIsaac. So what do we have for you today? Show number 115. I do not have an interview. It's been a long time since I've gone a show without an interview, so I'm getting back to the books. I read like a crazy man, and well, I also, I'll leave it at that. I've got a bunch of books here that I'm going to share their ideas contained with you. For example, I'm going to go to David Icke's new book. It is called The David Icke Guide to Global Conspiracy and How to End It. This was published in October 2007. I'm reading from the chapter called The No Conspiracy Alliance, which is between the media, the academics, our government, and the ruling elite. So if you don't know who David Icke is, well, he's an independent researcher, a writer, a lecturer, a free thinker, and a 9/11 truther who is marginalized. David's, for some reason, he's one of the loudest 9/11 truthers out there, but he's been marginalized for saying that human DNA has been tweaked by, among others, evil reptilian extraterrestrials. Yes, indeed. And that will lead us very nicely into the second book I'm going to be looking at, which comes from the journalist and author Jim Mars. It is called Alien Agenda, Investigating the Extraterrestrial Presence Among Us. I have the 17th printing of this book. It came out in 1997, HarperCollins. That's a lot of printings. I'm going to be reading from the epilogue, which is kind of a neat thing. It's basically a summary of the major themes and evidence contained in the book. So I'm going to be talking about a lot of different topics that are all explained in great detail within the book. You know, it's but 600-700 pages. It's a fairly thick book. So that's Jim Mars. Okay, and also I'm going to be reading from a book by Daniel Pinchbeck. It is called 2012, The Return of Quetzalcoatl. Now, I might not be pronouncing this Mayan god correctly. It's Quetzal, C-O-A-T-L. And I have a feeling that the T might be silent. I'm not positive about that. It's published by Penguin Group from 2006. And I'm going to look at, the nine from this chapter I picked out. It turns out nine paragraphs. And the topic is on crop circles. And for me, crop circles, I guess, was... For me, it seems like physical evidence that there is indeed intelligent life out there that is visiting this planet and leaving these mysterious crop circles. I did have an interview a few shows back on crop circles specifically. The guest was Beata Van Berkum, a crop circle researcher from Saskatoon, Canada. And that is show number 105, if you're interested in going back and listening to that interview. Okay, moving on, I have an audio piece here. The author is Anthony Arnov, and he's speaking at a conference put on by Iraq Veterans Against the War. So Anthony Arnov is indeed a Iraq veteran. And this lecture was entitled... Winter Soldier, Iraq and Afghanistan, Eyewitness Accounts to the Occupations. So that is a real smart piece, and this fellow does an amazing job of putting together the geopolitical structure behind these wars and what's going on there, and it is a real valuable piece. Let's see, who sent it to me? Terry. Terry from Nanaimo passed that one on to me, so thank you very much. I have a couple announcements. Of course, a story I've been following the last couple of weeks, George Galloway being barred from Canada. Well, he has put on a video conference message to Canadians. Did that a couple days ago from New York after being barred from entering Canada. So that is something you can watch on YouTube. And where I'm going with this is I'm going to connect these links on my website. And if you would like to investigate further the things that come up on this show, you would like to visit my website and visit the links to the different topics. For example, another one, Spain is seeking to uphold and enforce international treaties that outlaw torture and other war crimes. And there's a real strong piece by a woman that works for MSNBC, Rachel Maddow. So well done, Rachel. Goes in depth on Spain, looking to try American Bush senior Bush staff. So that is probably a pretty good thing. I sure wish that Canada would follow along, but the ball is rolling. So that's a good news piece to watch. Let's see. Last week I featured an hour long interview with Splitting the Sky. He's a truth telling peace activist, and well, he attempted to place George Bush under citizen's arrest 2 weeks ago in Calgary. And that was last week's interview. He's been on the show a couple times in the past. So that was last week. If you missed that one, I strongly recommend you check that out. Splitting the Sky is a wealth of information and a pretty good speaker as well. So my website is, if you would like to visit there to listen to shows that you might have missed, as well as to these links that I'm telling you about. And, of course, the things that you're going to hear about today, there will be links to those people and books as well. So my web address is unbossed.livejournal.com, unbossed, B-O-S-S-E-D, .livejournal.com. Okay, very nice. It is April Fool's Day. And I was originally planning on having some fun with that and saying some, you know, pretty outrageous things, you know, but I have a feeling that some people think that the things I talk about are already outrageous, so I'm not going to go there today. It's just another day, isn't it? So, OK, Okay. Oh, the first piece that we're going to listen to is a David Icke piece, and it is an excellent summary of his philosophies, the culmination of his research over the last 15, 20 years. And it's from EdgeMediaTV.com, a show they have called Now That's Weird. See what I mean about that marginalization of Icke? But there's a running theme through tonight's different topics. And it's one that I've spoken about occasionally, but it needs to come out a little bit more. And what it is basically is that, you know, this left-right paradigm is all part of the same system, and it's the broken system that we're using, you know, that is, well, David Icke is going to speak about it real well, you know, basically saying that, you know, the bankers and the capitalists have set up this system, and, you know, this capitalist system and banking and interest system, that needs to go. If we're going to save ourselves and our planet, it is the entire system, not the phony lefts and rights arguing it out about whatever issue of the day. You know, they both support the system, and that's where the problem is. So hopefully I'll tie that back in a couple times tonight. So let's, I want you to give a real close listen to this David Icke piece. There's a lot of information, and again, it is a really good summary of his philosophies from his books. He writes a book almost every other year. He publishes his lectures quite often on DVD. As a matter of fact, I have one on order, and I'm starting to wonder where the heck is it. I've never ordered anything from the internet before. This was the first time. It's, no, not my credit card. I don't do credit cards. Anyway, so that hasn't shown up yet, but when it does, I will likely steal and borrow bits and pieces from that lecture, which I believe came out shortly after this book that I'm going to be reading from. So it's kind of a companion piece, so that's a neat thing as well. So you listen to this David Icke piece, and when I come back, we're going to do the weather update. Okay, friends, this is CHLY 101.7 FM from Nanaimo. This is the Unbought and Unbossed show. Back shortly.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
And then we ask the question, okay, why do we have this incessant obsession with the centralization of power in all areas of our lives? You look back, we've had this procession through centuries and decades and now years and even getting close to hours towards more and more centralization of power on a global level. Why? Because when you're the few and you want to control the many, you have to centralize decision-making. The more diversity of decision-making that you have, the less control any central few are going to have over it. So you have to centralize decision-making, because then your decisions affect and have to be followed, at least in theory, by everyone on the planet. This is why we're getting this mantra all the time now about international law. We must have international law. What is international law? It is a law that everyone on the planet has to obey, in theory anyway. And so if you want, which is what they do want, a world government, a world central bank, a world army, an amalgamation of NATO and the UN peacekeeping operation, a world currency, electronic, no cash, and a microchip population, then what you've got to do, and this is the way they work, a process I call problem, reaction, solution, you've got to keep creating the problems, get the people to react, do something in fear and outrage, all of what's happening, what they're going to do about it, and then they, who covertly created the problem, offer the solutions to the problems they've created, which is the constant centralization of power. That's what all the solutions are. And we're seeing such a wonderful example now with what's happening in the financial industry.
Absolutely.
And
Absolutely.
If we don't wake up, we're going to live in a global fascist dictatorship within 5 to 10 years.
Maybe even less.
Well, I'm definitely being optimistic with the 10. But if we do wake up and we do understand that we are not a physical body, that's a vehicle. We're not Ethel Jones and Charlie Smith. We're not the lady that works down the corner shop. There are experiences We are consciousness, infinite consciousness, that is all that has, is, and ever will be. And when you move your point of observation from I am Ethel Jones and Charlie Smith to I am infinite consciousness having an experience as Charlie Jones and Ethel Smith, you are in this world physically in terms of the way you're experiencing it. You're not of this world in terms of your point of observation, and you realize what your true power is. And when enough of us do that, this house of cards called the global conspiracy, and it is a house of cards because we're holding it together, is going to come crashing down. And that's what we're going to do.
Okay, well, let's have another look at the DVD that you made at Brixton.
Okay, there we go with the CHLY weather update. That is being brought to us by our regular CHLY and Unbought and Unbossed show supporters, Vancouver 911. Oh, it's not Vancouver. We got a fun drive coming up, and I'm hoping Vancouver will throw $150, and I will mention those people weekly. But it is Victoria 911 Truth, Edmonton 911 Truth, and Fraser Valley 911 Truth. They're all the big supporters of CHLY and independent information like what you're getting right now. A woman called in from Gabriola and said, well, that she was happy that David Icke was going to be discussed, and well, I don't think she gets too much David Icke on her TV and newspapers. If she has any, she probably doesn't. She sounds like a pretty clever woman. So let us move on to this David Icke piece. I've read from this book one time previous. And again, it is called The David Icke Guide to Global Conspiracy and How to End It. It is a huge book. It is a textbook. As a matter of fact, it is a monster full of diagrams, pictures, illustrations, lots of things to back up his ideas. So that's kind of neat as well. And where we're going to right now is Chapter 17. It's the No Conspiracy Alliance. And we're going to be exploring why it is that, well, the media and the academics are, well, and the government, of course, are so hush-hush on 9/11. And, you know, how frustrating is that for, you know, us people in the know that are trying to, bring about the best-case scenario for our future of ourselves and our families and our loved ones. And, but we're having a hard time because the system that we're in is based on, you know, on greed rules, and that we're going to tax your income. And, well, let David Icke tell his side of the story. So maybe I'll just turn that music down a little bit. So it starts off with a quote by Malcolm X, and he says, "The media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and the guilty innocent. And that's power, because they control the minds of the masses." How true is that? So let's step into this piece. Okay, David Icke. "The desperation to suppress the truth about September 11 and other engineered events, as well as the conspiracy in general, has brought together some strange bedfellows indeed. They include most of establishment academia, the political and journalistic left and greens, and the political and journalistic right. No, make that the far right. These apparently opposing groups have come together in mutual service to the system and their own worldview programming. Fundamental to any tyranny is control of information, and today's global tyranny has all but achieved that. The mainstream media is owned by the corporations who ensure that what people are told in their daily news leads them to see the world in a way that suits the corporations and the shadowy bloodline networks that control them. This is why the only investigation into the official version of 9/11 has come from researchers and real journalists working outside the corporate-controlled mainstream. Corporations like GE, AOL, Time Warner, Disney, News Corporation, Viacom, and Bertelsmann own enormous tracts of the global media, and with mergers and takeovers continuing, that control is falling into far or ever fewer hands. This is encouraged by governments, which are relaxing restrictions on media monopolies. This is often done by trading political support in return for changes in the law, a technique used to great effect by moguls like Rupert Murdoch. This is a vicious circle because the more of the media that corporations can own, the more significant their political support becomes, and so the greater influence over governments. To be fair, even genuine journalists find it almost impossible to tell the truth while operating within an imposed bias and restriction on what can be reported. And those are now being sifted out, thank you, and removed anyway. The policy is to employ only those who will not challenge the system. The corporate media masters want the stupid and ignorant, and those to whom career and fame are more important than telling the truth. That's a big mouthful there. So, those who place career and fame above the betterment of Canadian society, I think that pretty much all our politicians fall into that. They would rather take care of their immediate short-term financial security as opposed to the long-term health of, well, the entire planet. So moving in here to a section called The News Fixers, let's try this. We are led to believe that there is a right-wing and left-wing media, as there is supposed to be a right-wing and left-wing in politics. But these are merely different expressions of the same system worship, as I shall now explore. The most blatant example of right-wing media manipulation is Fox News, the propaganda ministry owned by Rupert Murdoch and his vast media empire. So who is Stephen Harper talking to on his little American TV media trip this week? He's talking to Fox News, isn't he? My hero. Okay, let's carry on with Fox News here. One American editor is reported to have called journalists intellectual prostitutes, and there is no better example than Fox News, where Murdoch's penis is an object of worship. However, they are not alone with the corporate control of the global media, now almost... However, they are not alone, and with corporate control of the global media now almost complete, the old saying that you should never believe what you read in the newspapers has never been more accurate. It applies to all of the media, because what we are given as news is just a biased version of events, either through what has been included or left out. It is blatant in most national newspapers around the world, while at organizations like the BBC, it is more subtle and self-censorship abounds. I think that's a real important thing, self-censorship. You know, there's a lot of so-called progressive lefties that are dancing all around, you know, reality, but they won't make that leap that, the level of corruption is so bad that, 9/11 was... an inside job, and they're not doing their job to inform others. It's pretty frustrating. Naomi Klein comes to mind, and well, she doesn't believe in conspiracy, but myself, I do. I think that is how the world works. There's a lot of people to back that up. Just read some of the quotes of leaders from the last couple hundred years, and they will tell you exactly that. The people with the money have been making the rules behind the scenes and letting governments pretend that they're making the rules. Okay, so none of what has followed 9/11 would have been possible if we had a news media that was more than just a public relations office for the official version of events. Their lack of investigation into the London bombings and 9/11 is a disgrace to their profession, and even more so is their ridicule and condemnation of those researchers outside the mainstream who are doing what they should be doing. In their dismissal of any suggestion of a conspiracy, the right-wing and the left-wing media are at one. Yes, indeed. So I'm going to take a little pause. I will return to the David Icke piece very shortly, and we're going to be looking at the system worshippers. Yeah, okay, that's going to be the topic of the next next piece. So where I'm going, I have another audio piece here I'm going to play, and it is basically a commercial for a lecture that David Icke gave in 2006. I mean, the internet is so neat. So this lecture, which was taped and published as David Icke is calling it Freedom or Fascism, The Time to Choose, this is a commercial a commercial for that video. So we're going to listen to that, and then we're going to come back to David Icke. So let's move on to that, shall we?
The war on terror that has emerged in the last few years is actually manufactured, is engineered, and the story is very, very to the one you're being told by the newspapers, by the media in general, and by the politicians. He's just been told, by whatever means, that a plane has hit the World Trade Center. He's the President of the United States, the Commander-in-Chief. What does he do? He goes into a classroom and reads a story about a pet goat. Andy Card came in and he said to me, Mr. President, America's under attack. Okay, Andy. As soon as I know what's happened to this goat, I'll be right out. The secret agenda is hiding behind that. The secret agenda, which is to create a global version of Nazi Germany and then some. Imposition, constant surveillance, microchipped people, and of centralization of power on a scale the world in known history has never seen. We can turn the key on the prison cell door and walk out to freedom. It involves changing the way we perceive ourselves and reality. And this world must change because this world is just a reflection of what goes on in here.
Okay, so there we are. David Icke, taken from his lecture, Freedom or Fascism. So there we are. Let's get back into the book that I'm reading of his. It, I think, is his most recent. And again, it is called The David Icke Guide to Global Conspiracy and How to End It. At the System Worshippers. It doesn't matter if they take on views of the left or right. They are still serving the same master. They may want to tinker with the system here and there to suit their only slightly different perspectives, but they never talk of dismantling the system and transforming the mentality that holds it together. The state schools do the same with their designer programming aimed at the lower classes. They too turn out left and right believers who have worship of the system in common. They are like the Catholics and Protestants who worship the same deity, the same God, in a slightly different way, using slightly different rituals. Just as Catholics and Protestants argue over how to worship the same God, so right and left argue over how to worship the same system. And here's the key. Both jump on anyone who genuinely challenges the system itself, like those exposing the truth about 9/11. A Catholic and Protestant may be having an argument over Christianity, but as soon as a Jew or a Muslim starts challenging Christianity itself, the Catholic and Protestant will immediately forget their disagreements and join forces to defend it. That is what happens with left and right when an outsider seeks to expose the system on which they both rely for their sense of who they are. A left-winger will call for the rich to be taxed even more, while a right-winger will say they should be taxed less. What they are both agreed upon is the income taxation of a people, when if the system was operated efficiently and fairly, there would be no need for a tax on income, at least most of which goes straight to the banks anyways. Taxation is a foundation of the system, so it is never questioned. Left and right may argue over whether interest rates should go up or down, but both agree that interest should be charged on fresh air and on figures on the screen, which represent money today. Interest on money is a foundation of the system, so it is never questioned. The list of examples is endless. They disagree about the detail of how the system works, but not the system itself. Indeed, I've got a little bit more to go to share with you from this David Icke piece. And I'm skipping a bit. So he was talking about George Monbiot, the progressive Englishman. He has a lot of respect out there, but he's said some pretty ignorant things about 9/11 truth and the people in the movement. So David Icke has something to remind George Monbiot about. Little warning, I guess. So, oh yes, we must have real political fights so the hidden hand can impose its Orwellian state through left and right, while the advocates of both tear into each other. Grow up, George, or your intellectual blindness will be a life sentence, and not only for you. Noam Chomsky rightly said, and Monbiot should take note, that, quote, the smart way to keep people passive and obedient is to strictly limit the spectrum of acceptable opinion, but allow very lively debate within that spectrum. That's well said, Noam. That is how the system works, and never more obvious than at places like Oxford, Cambridge, and the Ivy League universities. Now, I've skipped some pieces, but he goes in depth on these established universities. So that's something you're going to have to read on your own. Chomsky also said that if we don't believe in freedom for people we despise, we don't believe in it at all. Quite right again. But when it comes to 9/11, Noam will not roam. Chomsky says about government involvement in the September 11 attacks, this is a quote, I've seen the video clip, that is an internet theory, and it's hopelessly implausible. Hopelessly implausible. So hopelessly implausible, I don't see any point in talking about it. End of quote. That's Noam Chomsky, the hero of the left. It's kind of funny, isn't it? So carrying on, the idea that a hidden force could be manipulating world events through different sides to the same end, or that governments could attack their own people, is just too much for their minds to handle. So attached are they to their worldview programming. Instead, they go into denial and, in Monbiot's case, viciously attack those who are trying to expose the truth about 9/11 that will bring down the whole us-and-them belief system that he had been indoctrinated to peddle. Attack the messenger if you don't like the message. And to conclude this piece, it is because of this system-serving mindset of both left and right that the apparently bizarre alliance has emerged between the robot radicals, including the leadership of the Green and the right-wing governments and media they claim to despise. They are all agreed that there is no Orwellian conspiracy manipulating through all sides, and that the official story of 9/11 is what really happened. To the double thinkers of the robot radicals, Bush is a liar about everything except what happened on 9/11. Because protecting their worldview is far more important to them than the truth. And the system servers, but they are system servers, the lot of them. Indeed. And the next piece he goes into is an official response from the Green Party of England on why they will not investigate 9/11, because so many Green Party members said that's what we need to do, and the Green Party came back with some pretty ridiculous things, similar to the ridiculous things George Monbiot had to say. So there we are, a look at David Icke. And again, it's the downfall, it seems, is that people are not ready to hear the idea that human DNA has been tweaked from extraterrestrials. Our brothers and sisters out there in the heavens. And we're going to further explore that story by looking at a book by Jim Mars. It's called Alien Agenda, Investigating the Extraterrestrial Presence Among Us. And he's done a nice summarizing chapter at the end of the book that I'm going to be touching on. And again, this is a really thick book, and you know, he might mention something in a sentence or two that, you know, covered a chapter or two, perhaps. So this is very in-depth, and there's really tons and tons of evidence from, well, you're going to hear it. I'll let Jim Mars share his book with you. Very nice. That's a fantastic song. Ani DeFranco, God's Country. That's a lot of fun. Okay, so let's move on to the next book we're going to look at tonight on the Unbought and Unbossed show. It is Alien Agenda. Now, I first became interested in this subject through crop circles. And crop circles, to me, seemed like physical evidence. Proof, a piece of proof, you know, when it happens hundreds and hundreds of times every year. Many of them, obviously, are hoax, but the majority are not. That, to me, became evident really quickly into looking at crop circles. So this led me to Jim Mars and his book Alien Agenda. I believe it's the largest selling book on this topic, and like I told you, I'm reading out of the 17th printing of it, so it is a little bit dated. This is 97, so 11, 12 years ago now, and there's going to be one or two things that feel a little bit dated in what I'm going to be reading from, but so keep in mind that it's a little bit older. do I want to say anything else? What could I tell you about Jim Mars? Well, he's an independent researcher and author, and he seems to do a book every couple of years, and they all turn out to be real powerhouse books of that field that he researched and compiled his findings in. For example, his book Crossfire, that's about the Kennedy assassination conspiracy. That is considered the best conspiracy book on that subject. Likewise, he did one, Rule by Secrecy. That's the one I'm reading right now, and that looks at the history of secret societies for as long as we know. He's also done a book on 9/11. As a matter of fact, I'm going to take a halfway break through this epilogue that I'm going to be reading from, and I'm going to play you his commercial for his book. Again, the internet, that's a lot of fun. You know, here we are getting commercials for books and commercials for lectures and neat things like that. So that is Jim Mars. He is out of Texas, and he is definitely a free thinker. And towards the end of this piece, he suggests that, again, it is the system that will not allow, that continues the cover-up, the conspiracy of the evidence that suggests that we have been visited and are being watched and so on and so forth for, you know, quite a while now. And so let's delve into this. Alien Agenda, Jim Mars, 1997. This is the epilogue. He calls it New Realities, and it's a really good summary of a lot of the key things that he spoke of throughout this book. So let's get into it. As the 20th century draws to a close, cattle mutations continue, crop circles are more elaborate than in the past, and the abduction experience appears to be more widespread than ever, in spite of the debunkers and media-supported public disbelief. the UFO issue appears to be coming to a head. New realities are impinging upon our collective consciousness. Two concepts increasingly accepted by all but the most stubborn skeptic are that there is much more to life than our own brief material existence on Earth, and that we are not alone in our world. The concept that we are not alone is supported by overwhelming evidence, including multiple sightings, photographs, film, video, radar contacts, personal confrontations, abduction reports, crop circles, animal mutilations, channeled messages, those are interesting, multiple witness reports, as well as physical evidence, such as indented landing sites, holes in the ground, burned vegetation, but also human scars and implants. Some of the human reports and photographic evidence undoubtedly are the product of misrepresentation or hoaxers, but the sheer number and consistency of descriptions argue against all of them being mistakes or fakes. Another argument supporting the idea of non-human visitors is the longevity of the reports. If sightings had occurred only in recent times, they might be attributable to some passing mass psychosis, a copycat function of minds frightened by the onrush of modern technology. But reports of flying machines and unearthly visitors predate man's history, and the evidence of technology superior to ours in the distant past is particularly compelling. The possibility of ancient astronauts provides not only a credible explanation for legends and strange artifacts in man's history, but also for the documented anomalies on the Moon and Mars, some of which appear strikingly similar to our own mysterious Great Pyramid. Now he's moving into a fascinating piece on we're in World War II era, and I won't jump the gun. I'll quote him exactly instead of messing up myself. So let's move into World War II time. And he says, there can be no doubt that beginning at least with World War II, military and government authorities in the United States took a keen interest in reports of flying craft and the glowing orbs that chased warplanes. Much material exists to suggest that the leaders of Nazi Germany may have developed a flying saucer based on advanced technology, which ended up in the hands of another nation. Whether this saucer was the result of human ingenuity or perhaps alien contact has yet to be determined. The year 1947 marked an obvious turning point in the government's attitude towards the subject, adding considerable weight to speculation that something unearthly was recovered near Roswell, New Mexico, and perhaps other locations. Where the government had acknowledged the possibility of extraterrestrial craft and beings prior to 1947, a new attitude of dismissal and ridicule was instituted, right up to today. Official denial has effectively blocked any public consideration of the phenomenon. Yet consistent internal reports and testimony from a variety of people show that the official interest in the UFOs is at its highest levels of government. At the highest levels of government, never diminished, it only went deep undercover. The Brookings Report, coupled with numerous public statements by several different officials, indicate that leaders were fearful of the knowledge they had concerning UFOs. They feared disruption of public institutions and panic. Military officers, as always, viewed exotic technology as potential weapon systems that have to be kept secret from any potential enemy. Other leaders may have been less concerned about the public state of mind or military security than about their own interests in maintaining control over public institutions, technologies, and profits. It is clear from the record that beginning in 1952, government intelligence, initially the CIA, began to assume control over the UFO issue. U.S. Air Force Project Blue Book, became merely a public relations front with a twofold purpose: to quiet the public clamor by dismissing as many UFO reports as possible, and yet at the same time quietly collecting serious UFO information that was passed along to higher authorities. It appears highly plausible that about this same time, a top-level, highly secret group of military officers, scientists, and other leaders was established to study the UFO issue, an MJ-12 group in effect, if not in name. According to a wide variety of sources, such a group still operates today. Such a group would more clearly represent the wealthy top 2% of the United States population than the bottom 98%. And it is fair to assume that their interests, particularly from the standpoint of self-survival, might not coincide with the best interests of the general public. All of this would presuppose the tightest security possible by government, exactly the situation discerned by the study of the historical record. However, this wall of silence may have developed some cracks in recent years. It may be that our leaders are making sporadic efforts to condition the public to the idea of alien visitation. Strange alien creatures have been showing up in everything from expensive Super Bowl ads and children's cartoons to series such as X-Files and Dark Skies, not to mention blockbuster movies. While the profit motive undoubtedly plays a large part, that such airings are allowed indicates to many that such concepts are being encouraged by the leadership of the tightly controlled mass media. Okay, so we're going to leave off there, but the research for this book is really extensive, and there is so much to suggest that the government has been paying great interest in the UFO story and at the same time saying, nothing's there, go back to sleep, boys. Interesting. And, you know, the other thing is, you know, whenever the mainstream media, you know, makes fun of, you know, these tinfoil hat-wearing people, for example, is a good one. You know, that saying came back out again with the 9/11 Truth Movement. You know, go there. You know, when big media is making fun of something, I suggest that you take a closer look at that idea. So I suppose that fits well with the UFO phenomenon. Okay, so I'm going to take a little breather here, and I'm going to put on that commercial to Jim Mars, his second, actually third latest book. He's been putting out quite a few books of recent years. This is called The Terror Conspiracy. It is about 9/11. And again, the author is Jim Mars, as is Jim Mars, the author of what I just finished reading, and I'm going to come back and conclude. So hang tight, folks. And we'll be back with you shortly.
War in Iraq. War in Afghanistan. A war on terrorism with no end in sight. Curtailed liberties in the United States. All this can be traced back to the attacks of September 11, 2001. America lost more than 3 buildings and almost 3,000 innocent citizens that day. A traumatized nation lost the will to critically examine who was truly responsible. Within an hour of the attacks, one man, Osama bin Laden, was labeled the person responsible. But when the government produced a confession tape of Osama, many people noticed the dark, swarthy man did not even resemble Osama. 5 years after 9/11, the CIA had quietly disbanded its Get Bin Laden squad, and the FBI admitted it had no hard evidence of bin Laden's involvement. So who was truly behind the attacks which completely changed the complexion of American life? The answer may be found within a new book by award-winning journalist and New York Times best-selling author, Jim Mars. Drawing on government documents and mainstream media reports, Mars provides answers to questions largely ignored or brushed off by the Bush administration's belated and hand-picked 9/11 commission. Questions such as, did war game exercises confound our normal air defense system? And if so, how did the hijackers know when to coordinate their attack with the war games? How could a Boeing 757 jetliner with a 124-foot wingspan leave a hole only 20 feet wide in the Pentagon with no signs of wings sheared off? Who allowed 140 Saudis, including 24 members of the bin Laden family, to fly across country during the no-fly time following 9/11? What caused the collapse of World Trade Center Building 7, which was not hit by airplanes nor suffered significant fires? How could this 47-story building have collapsed and not seriously damaged the buildings next to it? Why did so many New York fire and policemen mention bombs going off at the World Trade Center? Why were there no large sections of concrete left over from the collapse of the towers? What could have reduced all that concrete to powdered dust? And why was the steel from the towers allowed to be taken out of the country before any independent investigation? Why has there been no further mention of the deadly anthrax attacks following 9/11? And why were White House staffers given anthrax antidote days before the attack? Who was behind the suspicious stock trades prior to 9/11 that indicated foreknowledge, and why did they track back to the CIA? What about the pre-planning for an invasion of Afghanistan long before 9/11? And who was behind the lucrative gas pipeline deal there? And who has allowed the opium trade to reach record levels since the U.S. occupation? Why is the Posse Comitatus Act, which protects American citizens from being policed by the military, being systematically ignored? Why did no one in Congress read the entire Patriot Act before passing it? Was 9/11 allowed to happen like Pearl Harbor, or perhaps fabricated like the Gulf of Tonkin incident?
No matter how smart a person may be, if he or she is operating from incomplete or erroneous information, there's absolutely no way they'll ever be able to make a correct decision on any given subject. This is why I earnestly urge you to read my book, The Terror Conspiracy, so that you will have all the available information about 9/11 and can put it into a broader context. We must not lose our precious liberties due to fear and propaganda and ignorance. Be a free and thinking American. Be informed.
Okay, there we are. There's our commercial from Jim Mars. You got to hear his Texas accent there. I haven't read that book. I've got so many books on 9/11 that I don't need to read anymore. You know, the research is so solid. You know, so many independent scientists have come out, from their respected fields to show why the official story is a lie from start to finish. That it's not a question now of was it or wasn't it. It's far beyond that now, and it's time for action. So what action am I going to take? I'm going to read about Jim Mars and the alien agenda. So thanks for staying with me. And, it's something that, Jim Mars talks about rather similar subjects that David Icke does. And yet, David Icke is he's never included to speak at 9/11 Truth conferences that I'm aware of. Jim Mars is. So there you go. There's food for thought. So let's continue here with from the epilogue. Again, it's a pretty good condensed version of the different ideas you'll read about in the book if you read the entire thing. And I do suggest that you check this out. There's a lot of information and a lot more than I expected. That is for sure. I am not finished looking at this idea. So let's carry on here. A truly free and democratic people, such as we like to think of ourselves being, would assert their right to the same knowledge as the wealthiest members of society. After all, we will all share equally in the future of Earth. It could very well be that the reason so many ordinary people claim to have had contact with alien beings is that those human leaders who have sought to keep the public ignorant of the alien presence are being bypassed. So, these grays that might come and visit you in the night are going person to person instead of through the governments, because the governments, they realize that, they're pretending that, never mind, go back to sleep, there's nothing there. So that's an interesting point. Despite what appears to be a concerted effort by governments and others to hide away this alien presence, an ever-growing number of people are becoming conscious of this new reality through a variety of means, including personal contact, channeled messages, and wider dissemination of news and information through computer networks, books, movies, TV, videos, and a growing number of public speakers, as well as plain old intuition, and the military-developed remote viewing. Now, that was a fascinating subject, this remote viewing. Look into that. That was fascinating. You know, these people that claim that they're visiting foreign worlds and describing what they see. Really interesting. But the neat thing about it was the similarities of these different, I guess it takes a lot of training to become a remote viewer, but the vast majority of what they had to say was almost identical. You know, it really fit with what the others were saying as well. Neat stuff.